My name is Bobby Wilson. I'm the Government Relations Associate with Wisconsin Farmers Union. So all of the policy decisions that are made by our members, it's my job to communicate that to our elected officials.
The Wisconsin Farmers Union really having a groundswell this year of interest in what's being done in Canada's dairy industry and maybe what lessons can be learned here in the U.S. Can you share a little bit more about how that's expanded and where you're at this point?
So we were actually surprised at how much support the Canadian dairy meetings have drawn among dairy farmers. We organized these meetings back in March, and I don't think ever before in Farmers Union history have we had so many people contact us after coming to a meeting wanting to get more involved in what we're doing. So since that time, we have launched a whole Dairy Together campaign. We created a new website where we can direct people for additional resources and advice on things that they can do to further this discussion. So that's dairytogether.com. We've also started facilitating bi-weekly conference calls. So any dairy farmers or people affiliated with the dairy industry who are looking for long-term solutions can join us on these calls to talk about what we can do together to move dairy policy forward in a way that's going to provide stable prices to dairy farmers.
What's some of the situation for Wisconsin farmers and what you've learned through this process, maybe how they'd like to see that changed?
So it's definitely the main thing that's an issue is just the decline of Wisconsin dairy farms. So we've been losing farms at a rate of about 500 per year, which is extremely unsustainable. We're seeing a lot of loss of family farms. And really, these dairy farms are the economic engine of rural communities. So the biggest concern that I'm hearing from dairy farmers and also people who just live in areas where there used to be a larger concentration of dairy farms is that their towns are just kind of going by the wayside because they really don't have that economic engine to keep everything going, to keep the school going, to keep all the small businesses open, things like that.
Looking at what's being done in Canada, what are some of the takeaways or things that farmers are getting excited about?
I think that looking at Canada as an example, the main thing that people are excited about is the potential for a higher price, and not only a higher price, but one that is more stable. So Canada experiences prices that are a lot more steady than the prices that dairy farmers receive here in the U.S. Here we're seeing a lot of price volatility, so farmers have kind of gotten used to these swings. You know, there's usually a three-year cycle, and they just hope that that the good years are enough to make up for the bad years that they're experiencing. But lately what we're seeing is a lot more lower lows, and the high periods aren't making up for that. So I think that having a more stable and predictable price is something that farmers are really excited about.
Some type of supply management system was considered as part of some of the policy discussions in the 2014 Farm Bill. How did that fare, and how is that maybe changed in this current Farm Bill?
So in the last Farm Bill, National Milk Producers Federation included a supply management mechanism in their Foundation for the Future program. That was built into the MPP, and it was removed at the 11th hour and did not pass. But had it passed, we think that that would have provided more stable prices for farmers and less volatility than what we're seeing now. The National Milk Producers Federation has decided not to support supply management anymore because it didn't pass last time. And what they've said is that dairy farmers just don't support supply management anymore, so that they don't have a need to advocate for it. But I think that they're basing that off of what they heard in 2014 when prices were really high and everybody was looking to expand. So, of course, nobody wanted to support supply management. Since then, prices have dropped, and right now we're in a four-year trough and the prices just don't seem to be recovering. So I think farmers are starting to look at some of those possibilities a little bit more seriously.
Both the House and Senate passing their Ag Committee version of the Farm Bill, do you see any of these conversations maybe coming in through the amendment process or when it comes to the full House or Senate?
Not as much as we would like. Right now, I think that there is really a lack of any meaningful dairy policy reform in either versions of the Farm Bill, and that's something that we would like to push for. We would really like to see an amendment proposed that would help stabilize dairy prices and do something to solve this dairy crisis that we're seeing.
Would you say that the MPP program does anything, if at all?
From what I've heard from dairy farmers, the MPP program has really done nothing to help them. It's kind of a Band-Aid solution, and that's not what farmers need right now. They don't need another Band-Aid. They need long-term solutions.
Any last comments to wrap us up with, where the discussions are going from here?
I think that the discussion is definitely moving in the direction of international trade. Anytime we talk about Canadian supply management, of course, everybody is concerned about, you know, well, what about exports? And I think that it is a huge concern because farmers have come to rely so heavily on exports. So that's a big part of the conversation that we need to have is how do we wean ourselves off of these export markets that farmers have come to depend on so that we can implement something to manage oversupply that won't just, you know, cut off a big portion of farmers' markets. Not farmers markets, but the markets that farmers rely on all at once.